This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
New Drew is going to fire that thing up. Oh, March Madness theme. That's because
it feels weird on June 30th.
Yeah, it doesn't fit. But there was some news, or at least a teaser. EA Sports, creators, of course, of the college football video game, Madden, etc. They tweeted out, bring the madness. Let's run it back. Hashtag CBB. Hashtag it's in the game with a photo of a basketball in the EA Sports logo on it. That has led everybody to speculate that perhaps, just like they brought back college football and the NCAA football, maybe, just maybe, we're going to get an NCAA basketball or a EA Sports college hoops game. There's an actual report.
There's a report. Chris Vanini, or according to Matt Brown, Chris Vanini gave him the credit. 2028, still a little bit of time, but
2028.
There's going to be men's and women's teams in the game.
That's so long.
It's a long wait.
I'm intrigued because you brought up the point as we were talking over break when the news first came out. There's 360 plus teams.
That's a lot.
I don't know how they're
going to
get all of them in the game. I don't, and maybe that's why they need as much time as they do. Who knows? But I can't remember how early the college football game was announced compared to when it was released.
It was a two year head. So they now say like delayed it a year or whatever. So that would make sense, but that'd be awesome. You know, by then we might have 80 or 90 teams in the NCAA tournament field too. So you never know.
Yeah.
The time the game comes out. So that would be fun. We're years and years down the road, but that's exciting. If you guys know all the energy that was around last year's college football video game release, the new game this year doesn't have the same buzz because we didn't have to wait a decade for it like we did before. So the basketball game would have some of the similar buzz, although college basketball is still not nearly at the level of college football. Yeah. So it wouldn't be quite the same, but that's something that certainly caught our attention.
Would have been nearly
well.
20 years that a game would have come out, because the last one to come out was 09.
Blake Griffin, right?
10. Yep,
wasn't Blake Griffin on the cover?
That's right.
I used to do the dynasty mode, whatever they called it on that game back then, with your ruse,
yeah,
Cody.
Dynasty.
I tried to get the ruse to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history, man.
Did it work?
Yes.
It did. You know how video games, you know?
The ruse were undefeated one season, Cody.
Jeez.
Heading into the NCAA tournament.
Undefeated?
That's how we, and by the way, we still were only, I say we, in that season, still were only like a 12 seed.
I'll say, what?
Well, yeah, because they didn't play anybody.
I mean, still, though, you were undefeated.
Anybody.
No love?
They didn't play anybody.
No love for the ruse, even though you were undefeated.
Didn't play anybody.
Tough. Tough, but fair, I guess, at least on that end.
We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 15 minutes or so, but we had talked about the AFC West a little bit last week, just in relation to some of the comments nationally about where this division could end up, and obviously where the wide receivers stack up in this division, but Let's take a look at the quarterbacks some more, too, and the ceiling for some of these guys right now.
I guess the way I looked at this is I actually saw this from an account, maybe the 33rd team, Gold, talking about the second and third year quarterbacks. And because you and I were talking the other day about those quarterbacks and what did that look like for the more clutch version of those players, it got me thinking a little bit about what this meant for the other ones. Because they were asking a question, what is the floor and the ceiling for those available guys, and what could it look like? So I was asking the question instead about the guys in the division. I think two are actually fairly easy answers because I think this tells you about where the division is going and what you expect out of the division over the next 10 years or 5 years. Hell, let football short. Okay. Let's say 5 years. All right, floor and ceiling. Let's get to the easy ones first because then there's the more complicated conversations. Floor and ceiling for Patrick Mahomes. The ceiling is greatest quarterback to ever walk.
Still is. Yep.
On the face of the planet. That is still his absolute ceiling. Still not, like, less likely after the Super Bowl loss this year, but still absolutely plausible. What's the floor at this point?
Top three quarterback of all time.
I was going to say one of the five best quarterbacks to ever play the sport. Great. So his floor and ceiling speaks for itself. We don't have to think too hard about that. We don't even have to, like, get into a debate about what style of quarterback they are. Geno Smith, and they were doing, like, direct player comps, which I think becomes interesting as far as career goes. Geno Smith's absolute ceiling, I think, for a career comp is Alex Smith. That's if it went like as good as good as humanly possible. His problem is his floor is out of the league in 2 years, as in not a starting quarterback, you know, 36 months from now. That's what I feel like his floor still is. I still think he could have the kind of career where, well, you played a long time, you were a good quarterback for a long time, congratulations on some mild success, a la the Alex Smith career. Is there a ceiling better than that, you think it is, or worse?
No, I don't think there's a ceiling better than that. That's a pretty high ceiling, I still think, for him. Two guys that were both obviously top picks. You know, Geno Smith flamed out, you know, what makes him more impressive with him is
it took him longer to come back than Alex Smith.
Yeah, like he completely flamed out and then worked his way up, had a great year in Seattle and earned himself some nice money. And then now he, of course, is in Vegas with his old head coach and Pete Carroll. I think the floor for Geno, I don't know if it's out of the league. It's just that he's a backup once again in this league. You know what
he's
I mean?
Not like a starter.
I think he's done enough
he's
to
Joe
now.
He's Joe Flacco-ing his way around the NFL.
Yeah, he's gonna he'll be potentially a backup in this league for a long time if in fact things go south as a starter. I don't think he's out of the league in like a year or two. I think he's stabilized his career enough to where it's not there. Then it gets more interesting, as you said, with some of these other names.
Yeah, so like I was thinking about the career and like I'm not going to try to go with the easy, obvious argument. Just be like Justin Herbert's floor is Philip Rivers. He just immediately turns into because Philip Rivers had a hell of a career. I think Justin Herbert's floor is lower than that. Like I think it's below what Philip Rivers
in terms of like accomplishments or actual numbers or playoff. Like what when you say below
like
Philip Rivers,
right? Like what you accomplish in the NFL from a playoff perspective, what you accomplish from a numbers perspective. Like what you are as a quarterback when people view the end of your career, I think he could be more in the, I think Justin Herbert's floor is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins has had a nice career, but it's not Philip Rivers' career. Philip Rivers threw for 60,000 yards. He got a lot of touch. He had no playoff success, zero, but like he put up some counting stats at the very least. I still think Kirk Cousins is the floor for Justin Herbert. The ceiling is where I've really altered on him. I feel like the ceiling for him is the guy who gets, is it still a Super Bowl? I think it's a Super Bowl, right? It's one. It's too good. I think it's too good to say Matt Stafford. I don't want to say that. Stafford put up a lot of counting stats. I think that's too high of a ceiling for Justin Herbert for me at this point. It's probably a stage below that. Where are you on it?
So Herbert, the tricky thing with him always is going to be the fact that everybody agrees universally in terms of players in the league.
He can play.
Everybody, the arm talent and all that, it's all there. But at some point, the results are the results. And I know this gets into... and
that
I,
feels
I,
Matt Stafford-y is what you're describing.
Yeah, right like the arm talent is there, but the results are the results. The difference is, you know, franchise-wise, as much as we poke fun at the Chargers, like Matthew Stafford was on the Detroit Lions for a very, very long time. And that franchise had, you know, non-existent success. Whereas like the Chargers, as much as we give them crap and all that, they have still over the first X amount of years of Herbert's career, they have still been more successful than Stafford's, even though It's not been multiple playoff wins or a playoff win. It still has been in better shape. You know, we can, I don't want to get into the whole debate like, well, Matthew Stafford had Calvin Johnson and things like that. And who was Justin Herbert at? Keenan Allen. Like, I understand that. The ceiling for Herbert, at one point in time, people thought that Justin Herbert could be a top five quarterback in this league.
That's people thought that about Jay Cutler too.
Yeah, that Jay Cutler though. So you think Justin Herbert's going to be
His floor.
No, but like the floor, you think the floor, Justin Herbert, there's a chance that in 4 years that we view him as a bottom five quarterback in the league?
No, I think
because that's what Cutler was at the end.
Yeah, but that's at the end though. Like Jay Cutler made it to an NFC title game and put up some pretty ridiculous
numbers. Cutler put up some numbers that people legitimately
thought.
Crazy
numbers.
Now, not as good as Herbert's. That's the other part.
Yeah, but
Jay Cutler for his floor is.
I said that's too high. I said Kirk Cousins.
That's wild,
Cody. I gave him Kirk Cousins.
I'm curious because you're saying you think it's more like. You said it's more like Philip Rivers and not Matt Stafford, right? Or did you say it's more Matt Stafford than Philip Rivers? Because Matt Stafford won a Super Bowl. Philip Rivers didn't win one.
I think his
ceiling. In terms of his ceiling.
I think absolute ceiling, if I'm being generous, is Matt Stafford. That is the way we discuss Matt Stafford. Look at this freakazoid with all the talent and all
wasn't
accomplishing anything for a very, very, very long time until he had the head coach. So I'm still willing to put the ceiling around Stafford range. Like, you know,
that makes sense.
You get your one-off Super Bowl. Bo Nix, what's his floor?
Yeah, I've told you. I think his floor is fairly high, and I think his ceiling though is low. I think he's going to be a quarterback in this league for a very long time, but he's never going to be in the conversation of one of the truly top tier quarterbacks, in my opinion. Last year, give him credit, it was a really nice rookie season. I think Sean Payton is perfect for him and the system that they want to run, and he's going to be in this league for a long time. I told you when he got drafted, and after we saw a couple of games, it was very evident that, all right, this is actually a good thing if you're a Chiefs fan, and you're like, what are you talking about? Because, yeah, you would prefer them to sputter around for a couple of years. That'd be the best option. But they have found a quarterback that's good enough that they're not going to go try to draft and find the elite top five quarterback in the league. They think they got a good enough quarterback. So Bo Nix can be their starter, I'm convinced, for 5+ more years. I really am. Which is a good thing because he's not Josh Allen. He's not Mahomes. He's not Burrow. He's not Lamar. He's not Jalen Hurts. Like, he's not that kind of quarterback. So it's great. They basically have what I consider to be Derek Carr. A guy that he can win some games, but you're never concerned that he's going to go.
Is that his floor or his ceiling? Or is it the same in this case?
His floor.
He's just Derek Carr. There's no floor or ceiling. He's just Derek Carr.
His floor is that as far as an actual player comp, I guess he can play Matt
in a couple of years. One year is not going to convince me.
His floor is much higher. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be out of the league. But I truly think like his ceiling to me is Derek Carr type.
I think, and his floor being the absolute like the worst that we can expect him to be in his career. Correct? Is that what we're saying? Floor is.
Say that again.
The floor is the worst. Is the worst that he would be in his career?
Yeah.
Okay. His floor is Andy Dalton. Playoff appearances, solid.
That's
never
floor.
good enough.
That seems too high of a floor.
I think
he could be out of the league in 6 years. Just like not likely, but it just seems like,
or maybe
that's not out of the question yet.
Because I feel like it's unfair to almost say it now based on the career this guy has had. But I think stat wise, his ceiling is Baker Mayfield. Based like last year, Baker Mayfield is Bo Nix. I don't know how many yards he threw last year.
Baker's not a bad one.
But I think he can be a playoff winning quarterback.
I think his floor might, I think not the same type of player. I think his floor might be like Kyler Murray, like where you are a starting NFL quarterback, but no one's like thrilled about it. Kyler Murray is like that. That's Kyler Murray's like,
Yeah, but Kyler Murray's ceiling, I would still argue, is higher than Bo Nix's even to this day, even though Kyler Murray's been in the league for a while because of the dual threat ability that he presents.
Like, I mean, he's been in the league six years.
Understand.
I feel like we've seen his ceiling.
I agree, but like I still think Kyler Murray's ceiling is higher than Bo Nix. Like, and even like if we were just to discuss who would you rather have as your starting quarterback today, who would you rather have, Kyler Murray or Bo Nix? I would still choose Kyler Murray. I really would.
I think Bo Nix's ceiling is like Joe Flacco. Like, you just start for a team for 12 years. You get the right pieces around you. You can make some hay.
Again, but it's like Derek Carr. Yeah. And I know Flacco has a ring, but he got hot for a postseason, which is unbelievable. But, like, that's what I mean. I think that's why, it's not a bad thing. I understand Bo Nix almost beat the Chiefs last year in the game at home. I don't count week 18. Sorry, I just don't. The Chiefs waved the white flag.
Patrick doesn't even start that game.
But he's going to be their starter for a while. But as a Chiefs fan, you're not threatened by it. You're not threatened by. He'll beat you. Like Derek Carr beat the Chiefs a couple times. Like, of course, but they are not going to deal with. It's not like Burrow and dealing with Josh Allen, yeah. or Lamar dealing with Joe Burrow in this division. I mean, like you're not doing that. You got another quarterback that's a top 15, top 12.
I'm more impressed by the list of coaches than quarterbacks in this division right now. I still don't like. I have to live in fear less every day that Justin Herbert's team is irrelevant. Like, until they show some ability to at least get to an AFC title game. Hell, like, close divisional round games a couple years in a row, maybe. Until they're relevant, like, I can't live in fear of Justin Herbert. And I won't live in fear.
What does relevant mean? Does that mean winning a playoff game?
A couple, multiple years in a row.
Like, just, okay.
You know, like, then you're relevant.
How many playoff games did Derek Carr win?
I don't know, probably like four.
I don't think he's won that many.
Let's see. Hold on. He's 0-1, actually.
That's it? He played in a single
play. He got hurt. Remember the year they were great? He got hurt. Remember the year they were awesome?
Yeah. And they lost to the Bengals in 2021.
So he's 0-1. You know, I think Bo Nix will win a playoff game, I guess. So maybe if you think my Derek Carr comp and that, like, but this is, we're not just talking about who the comp is, not a playoff success. It's in general.
I think that I know you mentioned Derek Carr. I think your floor for Herbert actually might be Derek Carr because he's 0-1 in the playoffs, correct? Or Herbert's 0-2
in the
playoffs.
Yeah, but Herbert's going to put up way more touchdowns and way more yards.
I think that's like Herbert. If Herbert never makes the playoffs ever again, he's Derek Carr.
They got him the coach. But, I mean, he already has – Justin Herbert hasn't been around that long. He already has 21,000 passing. He's already halfway to Derek Carr's career passing yardage total and more than halfway to his touchdown. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's going to like, blow past him.
Also, I don't want to go back to Kyler Murray and Bo Nix, but how many years has Kyler Murray been playing again? How many
years? Yeah, he's been in the league for a bit.
6 or 7 years.
He's only, like, 2 years older than Bo Nix.
Oh, because of
Bo Nix is 25.
That's the other part we have to consider in this, though, with the ceiling, though.
He's like 2.5 years older.
Bo Nix a little older.
Like that's the other thing we do have to consider. Yeah. Now Kyler Murray's had some injury history, right? He's only 2 years ago, he only played in 8 games. So we'll see. It's interesting in the division, though. You know, I think someone says, I think if we've seen the best of Kyler Murray, it could be the same for any 2020 draft class quarterback. Yeah, I Kyler Murray, the conversation about him being one of the elite guys in the league, that's over. But I still think there's a chance
that Baker Mayfield run.
Kyler Murray.
Especially now that he's got Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't think Kyler Murray's a bad quarterback by any means, and I would still rather have Kyler Murray than Bo Nix. That's just me. But
If you just said you had to trade and there was one starter for Andy Reid, I'd choose Kyler Murray too.
Yeah.
I'd choose Kyler Murray.
He'd stop playing Call of Duty if he was on the Chiefs, I'll tell you that.
I mean, the truth
he
is,
would
is
not
like
be playing Call of Duty anymore.
This just goes back to the rookie thing. Kyler Murray, his rookie year, did things equal or greater to that the Bo Nix did his rookie year. They're comparable rookie seasons. But I've watched Kyler Murray, when stay healthy, maintain that level of play for 6 consecutive seasons. He's been pretty much statistically the exact same quarterback every single year he's been a starter. So, like, I've just watched him essentially be Bo Nix's rookie year every year for 6 years moving forward. I can't be promised that Bo Nix will do that every year, so I'll just take my chances with Kyler.
People hate on Dak Prescott, man. Someone says Bo Nix's floor is Dak Prescott. Now, the Broncos would be thrilled if he was Dak Prescott. Are you kidding me? People hate on Dak.
Year,
I don't get it. It's the Cowboys thing. People act like Dak Prescott stinks. It's unbelievable to me. I don't get it. I really don't. It's because he's on the Cowboys, I guess is what it is. But Bo Nix's floor being Dak Prescott, are you kidding me? That means you think Bo Nix might win an MVP. If the floor is Dak, that means there's a ton of growth on the ceiling, and you think Bo Nix might win an MVP at some point in time. I want to remind you, for a half a season, Dak Prescott was the odds-on favorite to win MVP 2 years
ago. Finished second.
Yeah.
Are that many people? And somebody said Andy Dalton's too high. I know that you guys said that as well. I know I thought Andy Dalton always should have gotten more praise than he did, but does he actually have the same numbers as Troy Aikman?
He's like probably.
I know it was different. It was different era. Oh, of course not. It was different eras as well, kind of in there.
Troy Aikman's numbers are not impressive. So probably, yes. Probably. Meanwhile, on the sports wagering end.
Yes.
One NBA player has decided to not learn from Jontay Porter's mistake. Maybe. Obviously, it's just an investigation at this point. Mm-hmm. So there's not information out. But Malik Beasley is officially under probe to figure out whether or not he was fixing unders. Yes. Like does occur occasionally in this situation. And Once again, but what I don't understand, like, Jontay Porter actually made sense to me. Like, just real quick, Jontay Porter's on a two-way contract. Not, didn't make sense. He shouldn't have done it either. But two-way contract, wasn't making a lot of money in the league. Malik Beasley, didn't he just sign? Wasn't he coming off
He recently got a four-year, $60 million contract. Recently.
This is why this one's the dumbest of the bunch. I mean, I'm serious. Because, one, as you said, Cody, you've already seen the consequences from a couple players over the last 12 to 18 months. What happens if you get caught doing this? They're laying the hammer down, okay? Yeah. Both the league and obviously federal authorities. And then, yeah, you had a chance to get a nice payday. Like, you, this wasn't a guy that was just struggling to stay in the big in the NBA and go to the G League and all. No, you were going to make tens of millions of dollars. So Malik Beasley, if in fact this is true, he's the dumbest one of the bunch. Federal authorities are investigating this. Some of the allegations are from the 2023-2024 season when he was actually with the Milwaukee Bucks. That year, if you're wondering, he averaged about 11.3 points in 79 games. He had a career-high 77 starts, but at least one prominent U.S. sportsbook detected unusually heavy betting interest on his stats beginning around January of last year. And they pointed out in this article from ESPN that the one that really stood out to them that seemed a little obvious was the game between the Bucks and the Trailblazers, January 31st of 2024. The odds in that game, Beasley to record fewer than 2.5 rebounds, moved significantly before the game. It was plus 120. All of a sudden, it's minus 250. So they took a ton of money on the under rebounds for him. He finished with 6 rebounds and the bets that were deemed unusual lost. So basically, it was like, in that particular instance, that was very, very fishy, given the line movement for a random, you know, a fairly random NBA player to have his under market.
On a random NBA
and that's,
game.
And that's the conversation, I think. Like, you and I have gone back and forth on, like, what does this mean? I've always said, and we don't have to necessarily rehash if you don't want, but yeah, the fat guys are getting caught. If they were not in a legal sports betting market, we may not even know about this happening with Malik Beasley. The idea that this is just now happening, it wasn't happening 5 years ago when it wasn't legal, or 15 years ago, I think would be very naive of all of us to suspect.
I also think it'd be naive to think that they're catching everybody.
Of course not.
They're not going to catch everybody. Like, you know,
if they are using offshore accounts, they're not going to catch them. If they are having their distant cousin making the bets, they may not catch them. But if you were betting under the name Malik Beasley and it's linked to your driver's license, you're getting caught now. That is going to happen. If in fact he actually did this, again, they're investigating. He's not been charged with anything. The other part with this entire thing is, does the NBA need to talk with their sports betting partners and say, hey, we're not offering unders anymore? Because you can have over, you can't really game the over the same way. I got to make my threes. I got to make the shots. But
specifically,
it's very easy
in a sport in which you can control the unders. Like, the NFL under yardage is tougher. What are you going to do? Just run lazy routes?
Right. But in the NBA, if my over under, if I know it's set at 3.5 made threes that night, I can just simply late in the game not take a three.
I can just take two. Yeah.
No, like, right. I can just not take a three. That's the conversation I think will be interesting over the next calendar year or so. If that becomes a real thing, does the NBA want to do that, number one, and number two, what's that like? Because in general, I'm open to, like, I would bet on whatever props they want most of the time. But if this is going to continue to be the one way that everybody is kind of trying to take advantage of, and I say everybody, we are also talking about three players, we're talking about 1% of the NBA. So I don't want to act like there's 30 players that are out here doing this consistently. I know we assume there are others, but also it would be, to me, ridiculous to think that half the league is doing this. That's also silly.
No, this is so, not PEDs yeah, in the 90s. Yeah. I got it.
So I don't know. Like, the under, I think there's a real conversation to be had, though. If you want to stop the easy manipulation from those that are going to risk their entire futures, both in the league and obviously potentially going behind bars in some of these guys' cases.
I mean, what if we find out, though, that it's like, if somebody bets like an over and they can't, because I don't think I don't know what the rules are for NBA players, but you can't bet on, I would assume you can't bet on the league that you play in. Is there any way that they manage that, even if they're betting over?
Well, yeah, like, you're not supposed to. Yeah,
No one's supposed to bet in the league they're playing.
Yeah, well, I know, but I'm saying if it's just an unders, like, why wouldn't it be everything instead of just an unders conversation?
Because if my over-under is 3.5 made threes, I can't force myself to make 4 threes. I might just not have it that night. I can't manipulate that the same way. Unders, it's pretty simple. If I got to have 8 assists that game, and I know I have my buddies betting the over, I'll just if I bet the over, I can't guarantee the guy's going to make the shot when I pass it to him and give me an assist. I can make sure that I'm not passing Cody the basketball, though, in a scoring spot.
Yeah, the points and the rebounds.
That's manipulation, though. I think just the same as the under hit. To me, it's the exact same.
No, but I can't. If my prop bet is to make 7 threes that night, I got to make the shot. I can't force myself to make the shot.
They shouldn't be betting on that or having buddies bet on that either. But that is like...
You can't manipulate it.
It also, like, people judge you differently whether you bet against yourself or actively hurt your team. Like, if you just said, I'm betting I'm getting 50 tonight, and you get 50, no one's all that mad at Millie Pease. You're like, damn.
Yeah, what are you trying to...
All right,
I'm confused, because I don't make any sense.
Russell Westbrook, I don't think, was betting on games, but I've seen him triple-double hunt so much, so he I think it's the exact same as part of a betting thing. If you know I got to get over 8.5 assists, and I have 1 assist to go, and I get an open layup,
he has to pass an open layup away to tie a game,
I think that there's a level of egregiousness where you can get to, I think, to hit an over where you have an open shot and you're passing up an open shot to try and get that final assist.
Yeah, but there's not
triple double. We all know the significance of that. Like, it's not like
I'm using that as a random example of somebody passed open an open layup to get their seventh assist.
No, he's playing on a court, playing the game, not for somebody else's money. It's just different.
All right, I'm just saying. I think that, and there's one thing that's going around now is Anthony Edwards hit 7 threes in a game. Before the game, Malik Beasley said, "Ant, I need you to hit 7 threes." Ant was guarded by.
He still had to make 7 threes.
I know, but Ant was guarded by Malik Beasley, who maybe took it a little bit easier on him defending-wise. Malik Beasley was a solid two-way player.
Any of the small fraction of players, again, we're talking about three that we know of so far that have bet on it, is there a chance that they had their buddies one of these times bet the over? The point is that, like, it is way too easy to manipulate unders for the sheer fact that I can simply guarantee, like, I can make sure I'm not making a shot. I cannot make sure I'm making 7 shots tonight. They would love to, but there are so many other factors that can go into that. I could get fouled.
I don't get to decide how many minutes I'm playing.
So many things that can go into that. It's why, what's his name? The Porter kid, you know, like the eye injury thing. I can tell coach I got my hammies acting up. I can't run. He can't, like, in that moment, he can't tell me, oh, you're full of it. No, I'm pulling myself to guarantee the under. I can't tell coach, hey, I got to make 7 more threes.
You make it much harder to manipulate by getting rid of unders than you do the other one.
I just think that there was another one that went around as social media, as you can imagine, is crazy with this sort of stuff, where he scored 7 points in the last minute of a game to hit his over. I'm just saying it was garbage time, and he shouldn't have someone betting on it either, but in a lot of ways that's why
we're saying, like, the overs, it's like it's going to lessen the likelihood that somebody takes the chance all. Because when you are putting that kind of money in the unusual betting amount, you are doing that for the sure thing, for the, you know, like Jontay Porter telling him, I'm going to tell him my eye hurts 4 minutes in, you know. I think it's just as simple as you can guarantee an under. In no way can you guarantee an over.
Right. All right, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, guys. A couple things heading into training camp in a couple weeks in regards to the offensive line, based on what occurred last year at training camp and how that could dictate how confident we are in that left tackle spot. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for
for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold,
brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Some news in the Kansas City area real quick before we get to the Chiefs. I guess it kind of is Chiefs adjacent to a certain extent. I saw this just come across from 41 Action News here in town. I don't know if they still go by Action News. That was their old thing. Maybe it's just KSHB 41.
I don't think they go by Action News
anymore. It used to be Action News. Anyway, from 41, you guys know who I'm talking about, all right? From 41.
It's not your job to get their slogan, right?
The Jackson County Election Board has said that it has received enough verified signatures for a recall petition of County Executive Frank White. They've received 43,000 verified signatures. They needed 42,092, I guess, for a possible recall. The directors now will send a letter to the clerk of the Jackson County Legislature later today. Then they will choose to accept or not accept those signatures. And if accepted, an election would be scheduled to allow Jackson County voters to determine if Frank White should be recalled from his position. So that is happening. It is moving forward.
I do not think that this is happening because of the stadium stuff. I do, in fact, think that this is because of the absolute atrocity that took place over the property taxes in Jackson County. I got to be honest. Easily the worst sign of all of that is when everybody's went up 40% and his went down 15%.
You think?
His personally went down, I believe. Now, look, I'm trying to remember like a two-year-old report now. But I believe it was like his went down and everybody else's went up because they pulled all the ones on the council. I'm not surprised by this. They got 43,000 verified signatures to say, kick them out. So just as long as the council accepts these, there will be a vote, as you said, by Jackson County members on whether or not to recall him. You think he's going to get recalled?
I have no idea. That's out of my wheelhouse there. I don't know.
I want somebody to tell me. Newsy reporters tell me whether or not it's going to happen?
Just from the surface, from the outside of someone that does not live in Jackson County, if you told me I owned a home and my property taxes went up to the rate that some of these people's rates went up, and knowing what you just said, I don't know how on earth I wouldn't vote to recall him. But again, I have no idea what the, you know, I can't imagine he's all that popular these days, but maybe I'm way off.
Look, he's won his seat.
My guess would be he would be out. But
look, I lived in Jackson County for a really long time. He has won that seat by a lot. I voted for Frank White. Multiple times. In full disclosure, I have personally
voted. Who else have you voted for?
I have personally
Go
voted.
Go ahead. Just, who else have you voted for?
That one's good enough. I have personally voted for Frank White a couple of times, I believe, when I voted in Jackson County. And what were like landslide ones. It was just like they each had competing little billboards around Ward Parkway. And it was like, it wasn't one of those ones I thought all that hard about. You're like, yeah, sure, that sounds fine. And I should have thought harder about it maybe at the time. But now in retrospect, these things have gone pretty south. It's, I think that they got the 43,000. I think his job's at real risk. He's got to hope they don't do a recall vote on his statue of Kaufman after. I mean, this feels like a bad, bad thing
that
for
might,
his
that
job
That might just
security.
Get lost in a move. That might just get lost in a move.
They back up the trucks.
It might have.
The Mayflower trucks are all falling up and just be like, sorry. That one went down the Independence Avenue Bridge for no reason, and it chopped the top of the statue.
I just wanted to pass along. That was some breaking news there from 41 and multiple outlets now that the required signatures for a recall campaign have been reached, and so now it moves forward. If they're accepted, then expect a recall vote at some point in the future. So we'll let you know if any new update with that. But that did just come across, and it is sports adjacent for a couple different reasons, obviously. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football here. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We know one of the biggest stories heading into training camp when we get up to St. Joe. We found out our full training camp schedule. That was one of the things we were working on last Friday when we were on the show. So we'll be up there for 11 shows this year. Hope to see you guys up. If you're going to be in St. Joe, be sure to stop by. We're in the same spot we've been for the, I don't know, last 4 or 5 years now at this point, I guess.
Yeah, right there to the right. I don't know what's
to the left of that first bleacher behind the Hy-Vee, our friends over at Hy-Vee, right there, man.
Do you think that helps more people, or if you gave like a card, what do you think? People got like a compass out? If you gave a cardinal direction, you said south.
No,
end,
that'll be
that
worse for
anything?
People. There's a lot of people that are directionally challenged. So no. All I know is like the
we'll be there.
I'll be. It's a different just timing ends up. I ended up eating like a cheeseburger from Hy-Vee at 9:30 in the morning before the show, just because it's there.
Yeah, you got interesting eating time frame.
It'd get switched up there because by the time I'm usually hungry by the time we get on the air because we're up earlier in the morning.
And you get home later because of the drive back. We'll be there. That's the point. Uh-huh. I was thinking about last year's camp. And I'm trying. Okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm trying not to be a pessimist. I'm trying really hard to not be a pessimist about a situation. But I was thinking negatively the other day.
Okay.
Because I remembered a gleeful feeling I had at camp last year. When we found out that Kingsley Suamate had won the job, won it easily, was the starter from jump, and the confidence that that gave us that he was the dude. He won the job, no sweat, no problems, here we go. And I was trying not to already decide that I need to be incredibly cautious if Simmons wins the job right away. And instead not optimistic. What I want to be is optimistic. If Simmons wins the job immediately, I should be like, yes, here we go. He won the job. We should be feeling great. Look at him. He's the starter week one. And last year, that burned me so damn bad. I feel like I'm going to roll into this not wanting us as a show to immediately be like, fantastic news, everyone. Simmons won the job at a training camp. Should I not operate that way?
Here's the difference. So I totally get how it played out last year. Understand that. And I've told you, even as we sit here on June 30th, I am still skeptical whether or not Simmons truly will be 100% full go day one. And I understand what Andy Reid said, but I'm still skeptical. But here's the difference. If you tell me Josh Simmons wins the job out of camp, the reason why this is different, the reason why you should still be giddy and still be excited, even though what happened last year happened.
Burned us.
Last year, I think we now know in hindsight, Kingsley was competing with who? Wanye Morris, with all due respect to him. Jalen Moore, while he has been a backup, he has started multiple games. I think you would even agree.
Hold on, I think like 10 games.
I think you would even agree, though, at least I think.
More competition.
Jalen Moore is better competition than what Kingsley was dealing with Wanye Morris.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I do. Not, so that I, would not, be, I'm not, I don't want to hyperinflate it either.
But that,
he's not like beating out some future old pro or former pro bowler. It's been a guy who started 7 or 8 games
so
last year.
So that's part of the reason why I would say it's not the exact scenario and why you shouldn't feel the exact same way is because he's, to me, in a real competition. The other part is just simply, this dude was a first round pick. This guy was a first round pick. And the question with him around the draft process was never about ability. It's always been about health.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say you could still be excited if in fact he wins the job out of camp.
Okay. So you're saying it's okay. I was just trying to look up what is the total number of games Jalen Moore has started 15 games in his career. Where do we think Wanye was going into last year? What's our ballpark? It can't be way off of that, right?
I have no
idea. 12.
He has started 17 games in his career, and Wanye started... No, so Wanye had started more, but by two. They've started a similar number of games. So, like, I think...
Wanye was a third-round pick.
I got to say, I don't know. Jalen Moore is undrafted. That's worse for him. I think that Jalen Moore is a better player to beat at. I think, but that might only be because I've watched Wanye play, and I've only kind of seen Jalen Moore play, and that was a little more successful. It might be somewhat comparable. I think your stronger argument's the first or second pick. I'm afraid to be optimistic about it.
I think you're...
I want to be, but I'm a little afraid of it.
I think you're too focused on who they're beating out rather than the player themselves. And in this standpoint, like what Gold said, it's a health thing with Josh Simmons. Like he was going to be picked in the top 10, probably, if he was healthy.
People have questioned the health, not the ability.
If he was fully... Let's say he doesn't tear his patella tendon during college football season. He's probably picked in the top 10. And so I think that's what should make you more excited is Kingsley was never that sort of a prospect.
But I'll be honest. So here's like your sales pitch on that for me is I hate those statements. Because I think
you don't think injury impacts draft status?
I think it is always incredibly overinflated. And I've admitted on the show, we talked about this a little bit. It goes way back to even the simple things where I had Chiefs fans in the middle of training camp trying to tell me that Aaron Murray was going to be a first-round pick before he tore his ACL.
We're talking about a quarterback.
I understand. I'm not saying that injury has no impact. I do not think if Joshua Simmons was 100% healthy, he was getting picked seventh. Because I think if he was getting picked seventh, he wouldn't have been available at 31. I think he would have been picked at 17. I think we always overinflate for personal fan bases the level up they would have gone depending on the injury as a way of making it seem like you got the steal of the century. I think it's inflated. I'm not saying it's nothing. I just think it's always inflated.
Forgive me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a report like a couple days after the draft? Jeremy Fowler said teams in the NFL weren't concerned about his health. It was the character concerns. That was from Jeremy Fowler. That was a report that floated out.
People thought that was intentionally leaked by a team to hope he would slide more. But yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if that's part of the reason he slid, Cody. I have no idea. Because I think to your point, like if teams knew that he was going to be healthy, then they might have picked him at, I don't know, 16 or 21.
I don't think he'd have been like, I think everyone's convinced he'd have been like the number two overall pick if he I think he could have gone 10. I don't think he would have gone 10th.
Who was picked in the top 10? Joe Alt, or not Joe Alt.
That was the year before.
Will Campbell and Armon Membo. There were two offensive tackles picked.
Yeah.
I think he might have... I don't know. How many offensive linemen were picked in the first round?
This year's draft? I don't know.
Because that makes me wonder, like, what a team... Is that also part of the reason why he slid was nobody needed an offensive lineman
like
that?
And I guess that's part of where, like, the comps come in for this, like... Because I think part of the reason we were so high on Kingsley winning the job coming out of camp is... We didn't do this, but we were like, oh, man, we thought he might be available at 32. So, like...
That's fair.
He was a second-round pick, but we were all, as Chiefs fans, like, way higher. I'm like, oh, this is a top 40 pick. And so we were inflating his draft status a little bit too. And I think we might be doing that with Simmons too versus a guy who's into the first round. Tackles aren't usually available at the end of the first round. I'm not denying that part of the reason he was available as late as he was is there, but I think he's probably more like the, you know, like 20th player out of the draft. There's a huge difference between pick 31 usually
and the guy who goes 15th or 20th too, and typically we would agree
if
as well.
If you were to say that he's the 20th best player in the draft, I think you would take that in a second.
Your skepticism on because of what happened last year. I think there's some reasons why it's a little bit different. I also say, and we know PFF is subjective, but going back to the Wanye Morris versus Jalen Moore thing, since we all agree that they had the same amount of snaps basically in their career, Wanye Morris last year was a 53 grade. Trent Williams was hurt a lot last year. Jalen Moore was a 74.9. That's a significant difference in terms of their grading system. I know we all have our issues with PFF. I certainly do as well.
Are their career grades similar? I guess those are pretty much
also
all
learning
of,
from Trent Williams.
That's all really kind of a majority of his. So, we'll see, right? Like, my skepticism is not the ability of Simmons. My skepticism is whether or not he's actually able to truly compete for the job day one when we're up there in St. Joe. And that's going to be interesting.
Is that like the number one story? Like day one, is that what you guys are looking for? Like day one?
Yeah,
absolutely. Left tackle has been the biggest problem for this team. They had five different left tackles start in five Super Bowls. They spent a first round pick on this guy. It's one of the biggest questions for sure.
Question one is left tackle. I think question two, it just is what it is. And then question two is probably, can they complete a deep pass in the year 2025?
Yeah.
And so really what I come down to is what ends up being the third biggest storyline. Arrow Pride actually had an article up of being here are the biggest storylines going into the training camp or the pre-training camp. Biggest questions going into it. What is number three for you guys? If we all agree that the deep passing game and left tackle are one and two, which I just don't think are really much of an argument.
Yeah, I would say it's short yardage situations again. I understand they should never be a run first team. They never are going to be with Mahomes and Andy. That's all fine. But we all know they struggled still at times in short yardage. They were great on third down conversion overall. But what led to some of the longer third downs is they would just struggle in short yard situations. It's why they would also struggle to set up shorter third downs.
And close out those in touchdowns.
Yeah, in the red zone, it led to some red zone problems as well. So whether that's Kareem Hunt, whether it's going to be Breshard Smith, I don't really envision him as the short down back or short yardage back by any means. But how do they fare there? We talk all the time about this interior offensive line being as good as it is with Creed and Trey. Now at left guard, you're going to be weaker. There's no Tooney. And you struggled on short yardage when you had Tooney. So now what is it going to look like on short yardage? It's not just a running back conversation. It's a interior of the offensive line. Now that your left guard is not an all pro anymore, it's either going to be Kingsley or it's going to be Caliendo, we assume.
So for you, it's how does that relate to the number of points in which we can score? I think for mine, it's defensive end depth. I had questions about it last year and two years in a row. They were top five in sacks 2 years in a row. Last year, they were not good in that category. And the biggest drop-off is obviously Chris Jones falling back, 8-9 sacks from the previous year, probably single-handedly being the difference. I still wonder, Gelati, a Minnehue coming off of, another year where, can he stay healthy? Can he be on the field? Because I think he's effective when he's on the field.
You were gone a week or whatever it was ago, and we did our, bold defensive predictions, and mine was Charles Minnehue's going to have double-digit sacks this season. Contract year, he's still under 30. I think whenever he's been on the field, he's been effective. Can he stay on the field is the big question with Charles.
Yeah, that'd be always my fear. And I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a good player. It feels like he's been in a contract year every year for, for his entire NFL career. So, but defensive in-depth is a real concern for mine. If they're going to have a fallback on this team, it feels to me that defense is the far more likely of the candidate. And I know you could be what about safety? This is the first time they're just running out a bunch of second and third year guys and don't have the established guy like Justin Reed before, Tyrann Mathieu before that, or all these other. Defensive end is my real concern. I think they're fine in the interior. That's my third biggest question in camp is, can they get production out of anybody else outside of those areas?
It's ironic you bring up the secondary, Cody, because I think it's not a concern necessarily, but one of the bigger questions I think going into the season is, can we avoid the shuffling of cornerback two conversation? Is Christian Fulton that guy? Does Noah Williams step up and become that starter? I think that's it's not a concern necessarily because they were fine while rotating, but can we avoid the, dang, this guy doesn't look good, let's bring in this guy, he doesn't look good, okay, let's bring back this guy. Can we squash that?
You notice he said we three or four times. Mr. Cincinnati's coming. Mr. Cincinnati, he's saying we a few times. He's fine. He knows he's going to camp maybe once or twice. We don't know if that's going to happen, actually, but we'll try to get Drew up to St. Joe.
It's the truth is, last year in camp, we knew it was by committee. The Watson, Williams, Nazi Johnson.
That was one of the big questions when Spags didn't know who it was yet.
By the way,
competition.
I'll just be honest.
Now you know why.
They spent 20 games last year and did not have that answer. They didn't even have that answer by February of the Super Bowl. They were still rotating dudes out. There's a reason why they went after Christian Fulton.
And drafted him. And there's a reason why.
Yeah, and Noel Williams is a borderline identical fit for what they traditionally like in corners. And this is why I'm convinced Noel Williams will work, is because they know the kind of corners who work in their system. He'll just work day one.
I still think though, part of that conversation, at camp was they didn't know who was going to emerge. And then if we remember how we discussed it the first month of the season, remember Jalen Watson ended up taking over and he played really, really well, then got hurt. And basically his season was over. He only played six games last year. He was clearly their best option when he was healthy the first 6 weeks of the season. It's just the injury derailed everything. And then now they've pivoted and they've brought in Fulton. Jalen Watson's still on the roster. So I would still say, if he all of a sudden, if you're telling me Watson's now your number.
I think Williams is going to be gone before. I think he's
before the season?
I think he's like a. I think he's either a camp trade or a cut.
Really?
My bold prediction is I don't think Joshua Williams will be on the roster week one.
I disagree only because we all know you got to have corner depth. I mean, you keep six corners on your five corner. I have to go look at what they did out of camp last year.
Let me give you the corner.
You keep a large amount because of injury, and you know there's certain packages where you're going to have multiple corners on the field on a consistent basis. So I don't. I'd be surprised, man. I don't think either. Okay. I think. Go ahead.
Their corners consist of Trent McDuffie, Christian Fulton, Jalen Watson, Noel Williams, Joshua Williams, Chris Roland Wallace, Nazi Johnson, and then you're just getting.
I think Josh Williams is fine. I think he's fine.
Do you think Nazi Johnson is on the? I think there's a chance he's not.
I think it's Williams. Jalen Watson and Josh Williams to me make this.
I don't think they actually like Josh Williams. Joshua Williams.
based on what?
They've tried to do anything to replace him on the roster consistently.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about him being the fourth guy on the depth chart.
I think that they've always thought that in talking to some people and watching. Like, I think they've always thought Nazi Johnson was more talented. Jalen Watson was more talented. I think they took Noel Williams. I think that even like
they did bring in Chris Roland Wallace at some point to replace. I mean, they were running out everybody.
I don't think they're super high in.
I'm not super high on him. Again, we're talking about does he make the football team? I just think he's either a camp trade or a cut.
That's all. That's my bold prediction that I missed last week. The Joshua Williams. That's not that bold, but Joshua Williams is medium bold. That's all. And this is not like a knock. But yeah, I think Watson, when healthy, has actually been the closest thing they've had to a corner.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
And now they can line him up on the outside.
I'm just saying that Christian Roland Wallace, you know, I mean, this time last year, none of us knew he existed. Let's be real.
I got his name wrong like three times. CRW. I didn't even say it just now, like 15 seconds ago, because I was worried I was going to say it wrong again. I kept trying to call him Cam Taylor Britt, which is not who
that's,
he is.
That's Nebraska.
He's Roland Wallace. And I'm just like terrified of getting his name wrong. I think he's on the roster.
I think Jalen Watson's playing plenty this year still. And then, yeah, Noel Williams, they draft him for a reason. He's going to have a role. Yeah. I think your scenario of him getting traded for like a future pick is more likely than just flat out getting cut, Joshua Williams. Because I think if Josh Williams is the fifth corner on the team, that's actually a good thing.
What does he even go for? Like a seventh?
I mean, it's about where he was drafted.
So I'll just use him as my fifth. Jalen Watson got hurt. I'll use him as my fifth corner. If I have guys that get hurt, at least I have someone behind him that started 10, 15 games.
Well, that was my bold prediction.
Career.
Is Noel Williams starts by week four. He's the starter by week four.
Yeah, I think he takes over. The Nazi Johnsons of the world, that would be almost more of a camp cut. Anyway, we'll do these candidate stuff when we get up to training camp as well. But that's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Here on Cody and Gold. Up next, let's get to what's trending, then we'll get right back into the Royals, who had a 1-5 homestand.
Not great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves. Swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.